Someone said, praise the Lord. I was listening to the trio sing the song about depending on God to bring us through. And I was thinking about that word through. Through means not only going into something, but coming out of something. People are going to go into hell. People are going to stay in the world. But I plan on going through the world into a new heaven. I plan on today with all my heart going through the gates of hell, taking somebody while I'm there and bringing them out with me. How many of you depend upon that? How many of you have got someone that's lost and they need the Holy Ghost? I need somebody to pray for my family. I need somebody to reach for them. I'm praying for them, but they need the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Think about that word through. Are we going through something, or are we just staying in it? Hallelujah. Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Hallelujah. I'm thankful to be here. It is an honor and a privilege to be here. Brother Davis, I thank you for allowing me to come to your pulpit to greet your sheep. That's a tremendous honor. Tremendous honor. But I want Brother Williams to come real quick and give us a testimony. And if he wants his wife to testify, she can get with it. And then I'm going to have my wife sing.
Somebody shout praise the Lord. How many of you are glad you're Pentecostal? You see, there's a difference in this day and age. We have a lot of people who are calling themselves Pentecostal. But I'm not just glad I'm Pentecostal, I'm glad I'm apostolic Pentecostal. I believe in one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, who is the Father of all, who is above all, who is through all, and he can be in you all. I'm glad I'm apostolic Pentecostal. I'm not just Pentecostal, but I am apostolic. It's good to be here today. We tried to get more people to come with us, but there's a lot going on in Houston this weekend, and we're looking forward to ministering to you today. Like Brother Blackshear said, it's a privilege to be here today. It's a privilege, and it's an honor that a pastor, he'll open up his pulpit to allow young guys like us to come and not try out sermons on you, but try to minister to you. And we just want to be a blessing to you today, and we want to help you today. My wife, she wants to testify tonight. She said, just save it for the night, so I'll let her testify for tonight. But we're certainly privileged to be here today. We're looking forward to service today. We're looking forward to service tonight, and all we ask is you just get with us. We want to see a move of the Holy Ghost here, and we just want to get with it. Brother Davis has a good reputation at our school now. The Corral came here, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, might have even been last week, and I'm not sure what they said. They call you Brother Bud Davis, and those Corral members, they're calling him Wild Bud Davis now, so they said he got with it. I called him yesterday and said, I've heard a lot about you, but your pastor's definitely known. Well, he told a couple of people that's from this district. I'm from Alabama, and I'm just at TBC now. But we told him we was coming here, and he said, just be ready because you don't know what to expect with him. So, and I've come to find that out this morning, but I love it. I love it. I love seeing a pastor get down and leading his people in worship. I liked it when he stood right up there on that altar and he just sort of got with it a little bit and he was trying to follow and lead after the Holy Ghost. You ought to be thankful for that today. You got a good church here. Come on. But we are looking forward to what is going to happen. God's in this place, and if we have a spirit of expectancy here right now, the Lord, he's going to meet your need. If you need deliverance today, you can leave here delivered if you're expecting deliverance. Whatever your need is here today, if you just come expecting to receive something. Bible talks about when Peter and John, they were going to the temple. It was the hour of prayer, and they saw a lame man. He was sitting at the gate. And that lame man, I don't know what he was doing days before that, but that time when Peter and John came walking by him, the Bible says he was expecting to receive something from them. He didn't know what to get, but he just came expecting. You may come here wanting to shout this morning, but you may need to get down on your face and just cry before the Lord. But if you come expecting, God's going to meet your need. You may come here this morning wanting to cry and wanting to just lay your burdens down on the Lord. But if you just come expecting to receive, you could leave out of here with a shout today. It's all about what you come to expect to receive in the house of the Lord today. I'm supposed to preach tonight, so I won't start now. We're looking forward to tonight's service. We're looking forward to this morning's service, and we want God to move. Let's just give the Lord a hand clap of praise, as Sister Dawn said.
Praise the Lord. He should have kept on going, because about 30 minutes of my sermon, I believe he might have preached. I want my wife to come. Later I'll tell you how I met her. An interesting story. But when you get 32 years old and you're still single, well, I'll tell you a little bit later. But I want her to sing. How many is going to worship with her while she sings?
I first want to thank God for bringing me here today. It's been awesome because this reminds me of my grandfather's church. And my grandfather's 88. He's in the bed, not able to remember much anymore. And I just saw him last week. And I know that it's his time to go not too far from now. And I know that he has a place in heaven because he is in the arms of Jesus. And he's the one that brought me this far. And the sister sang about if you had known me before I knew him. And my husband was getting a blessing. And I know the song and I love the song, but I don't know how it feels because I got the Holy Ghost when I was 8 years old. I've been raised in this. And that in itself is a blessing. Because I've never had to be out there and be beat and be abused and be cussed at and be thrown out and all that. I've never had to worry about an alcoholic father coming in drunk and beating my mother. I've never had to worry about drugs being introduced to me at a young age. I've never had to worry about cigarettes or anything like that. And I'm so thankful. Because that just proves to me all this time that God has kept me sheltered in his arms. And that's what I want to sing about today.
I feel the touch of hands so kind and tender.
Fall asleep.
From the Holy Ghost today. Hallelujah. I'm expecting a mighty move of the Lord. I'm expecting a mighty move of the Lord. The psalmist said in 62, truly my soul waiteth upon God. From Him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will I imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall shall be you, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly, Selah. But then he said, My soul, waiteth thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. What do you expect in this place today? The Holy Ghost is in this place right now so strong. He's ready to minister to your need. He's ready to heal your body. He's ready to deliver your soul. He's ready to save your soul. He's ready to hear your petition. But my God, we've got to send it up. We've got to send it up. The psalmist said, shout with a voice of victory. I will enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and I'll enter his courts with praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lift your hands. Lift your hands. We're going to pray over this service right now. Lord Jesus, you see our heart. I'm asking you, the anointing's already here. I'm asking you to bless the anointing. I'm asking you to bless, Lord, every heart in this place today. I'm asking you to come in, Lord, and do an open heart surgery. If there be anything in our hearts, Lord, that needs to be removed, remove it and let us leave here clean. Let us leave here whole. Let us leave here right. And let us leave here expecting you, Lord. Hallelujah. Anoint the lips of clay. Anoint your word, Jesus. And everyone say, I'll give you my all. I'll give you my all. I will give you my all. In Jesus' name. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Started it off just a little bit different than most people. But I wanted to get into the expectancy of the Holy Ghost. Now I know we're all affected by the time. I think I've been struck with a disease. Everybody heard of sleepwalking? I think I've been struck with a disease called alarm clocking. Because it seems like I remember resetting my alarm. But when I wake up in the morning, it's not going off and I'm fixing to be late. And sometime during the night, I've reset it. My wife set it for 5 o'clock this morning. I rolled over to set it for 5:30 because I'd been up a little bit later. And when I woke up, it said 6:29, and I punched the alarm, and it said 1:30 p.m. I'm like most people. I wish the Lord would have made the morning at the crack of noon. But the psalmist said that I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was not raised into this. Sister like you, I'm a first generation Pentecost. My parents are not into this. My grandparents are not in this. I come from a small East Texas town, if you can already tell, called Newton, Texas. It's not a big population, but it's a place that God knows about. And we may not be in a 15,000 member church or 1,500 member church, but we are in a church that God knows about. And if you're in this place and you do not have the Holy Ghost, my friend, God is calling your number today. He's wanting you to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He's wanting you to be baptized in the name of Jesus. But he's also wanting you first to come to an altar of repentance. Oh, well, I didn't come for that. I came to hear the singing. Well, you got all that you expected. I said, you've got all that you expected. Young people, do you want a revival in your church? Do you want it to start in this church? It's got to start with you. But when will it start? When will it start? My scriptures of this text, I feel to get into this, is in the book of Acts chapter 26, verses 24 through 28. You may stay seated, because I'm just going to run through this. And as he that spake for himself, Festus, saying with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. I wish somebody would act a little mad in this place tonight. I said, I wish somebody would. It said that when he gave you the Holy Ghost, he brought you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. And if I know anything about light, when light comes on, things is revealed. Has anybody had anything revealed to them today? But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth with the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. My, that preach right there. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I knowest that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And I want to talk to you just for a little while today. I want to talk to you. If not now, then when? And everyone say, if not now. If not now, then when? Now I know I'm not Jeff Arnold, and I know I'm not Brother Lee Stone King, and I know I'm not Brother Kilgore, and I know I'm not Brother Mangan. But sometimes we go to a place, and just because we know the name of the person speaking, we somehow seem to respond just a little bit more. People go thousands of miles just to hear Brother Jeff Arnold speak, and I'm not knocking that. He's a fantastic man. He's a great preacher. But it's not the man that's going to be doing the talking. It's not the man that we need to respond to. It's not Gary Blackshear, the name that we need to respond to. It's not Anthony Mangan that we need to respond to. But it's Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's who we need to respond to. And I'm asking you today, what do you expect in the house of God? If not now, when will we become praisers? If not now, when will we become saved? If not now, when will we be blood bought? If not now, when will we wait for the next camp meeting? Will we wait for the next revival meeting? Will we wait for the next whatever has to come along? Young people, if you want a revival, the revival will not start in the speaker that stands up here behind this pulpit. The revival will start in your heart when you start praising God, when you start coming against the things that try to hinder you, when you start coming against the tiredness, when you start coming against the weariness, when you start coming against the nastiness of this world, when you start coming and say, God, if not now, when will it start? But as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. Start in me, oh God. Start in me. Will somebody say, start in me? If Lufkin needs something in this church today, it is revival. But it's going to have to start in the heart of each one of you. It's not going to start in the heart of me because I'm going back to Houston. It's got to start in the heart of you. And I come to challenge this church today. If not now, when? Hallelujah. If not now, when? I know I'm a young bronc. But there was something that happened to me back in 1991. This boy came in here. I know you see me from the backside and you say he's getting bald. But this boy walked into that little church in Newton, Texas with hair down to here, earrings hanging out of his ears, heavy metal dope addict done laid on the hospital bed in the emergency room twice for a drug overdose. And I said, I can't live this life no more. I've heard about this little Pentecostal church. There's something different about that than the denomination I grew up in. I went down in the water in that other church and was thrown in jail the same night. But the night that I went down in the name of Jesus, something transpired in my soul. Something got a hell to me. And then the question was, if not now, when? If not now, Brother William, when will we become praisers? If not now, when will we become testifiers? If not now, when? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I walked into that place and I told Brother Betrayal was there. I told him, I said, Brother Betrayal, I've been to your barbecue stand a lot of nights and I've cried. And you've heard this old drunk thing crying at you and another crying jag in your place. But you sit there and you listen to me. Well, I'm sober-minded now. I'm sober-minded, and I asked him one question. What must I do to be saved? We had Sister Paula Dean Betrayal's funeral in the church that I grew up in. Had it in that church, and I sat up in that balcony because I knew them. I can remember the last words she ever said to me. She got killed in March of 91, and at a homecoming in October in the year of 90. The last word she said to me when someone had me pull my hair back and saw me with short hair, asked me, why don't you come to church? And I pulled my hair back again. I said, well, I don't know what people's going to say about this. And she pointed her finger at me. She said, young man, that's the devil talking to you. You need to come now. And the Bible says that now is the day of salvation. Today is the right time. Today is the day for you to be saved. We don't know if we've got tonight. We don't know if we've got tomorrow. But we do know we have right now. And now is the time to be saved. If not now, my Lord, when? If not now, when? I hope you don't think I'm coming with the wrong spirit. I've prayed, and I've had things that run through this mind and run through that one. And I said, man, I've took it to the altar, and I've read it, and I've preached it to the Lord myself. And I felt that, woo, and I thought, yeah, that'll be a good one. But there was a thing in my mind just kept running in the bed when I lay down at night. As I thought, Lord, I don't want to just come with any ordinary message. I want to come with something that'll make a change in somebody's life. That they may come to this altar and make a change in their life. But when they walk out of this building, you hear me, when you walked out of this building today, you will not be the same. You will not be the same. You'll be either softer hearted to the movement of the Spirit, or you'll be harder hearted to the movement of God. You'll either be more of His friend or twice His enemy. He says, though my wrath be not turned away, my hand is stretched out still. And if you'll come to an altar today and tell the Lord, now is when I want to make this choice, mercy will come running to you. The blood will come flowing down to you. The mercy and grace of God will fill you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But if not now, when? The people that wanted this revelation in Kansas, state of Kansas, they wanted Topeka, Kansas, they wanted this revelation. They didn't say, well, we'll wait till the next week or when time is convenient. They said, we've got to know this and we've got to understand this. And if this be right, Lord, we're going to go in a room and pray. And if not now, when? And can I lay this to you? If not now, possibly never. Brother Williams came in and was talking to me. I told him, I said, if we don't get into this thing now, we may never get into this. You see, the law officers that done had Gary Blackshear scratched off. The police officers in Newton and Jasper County had done had this old dope dealer scratched off. They said, well, we're going to find some father-in-law or some father's going to have him killed. Father, baby, I've never been married. You're the only one. Some father's going to have him killed. Or he's going to kill him himself. They said, oh, he'll be killed in a car wreck. Maybe not now, but one day he will. One day he'll be no more. And we won't have to deal with his carcass anymore. We'll just take him to the funeral home, let him pump him full of that mess, and then just bury up the remains. But God had something more in store for me. And let me tell you, I don't care what situation you're in this morning, God's got more in store for you. God's got a greater plan for you. God's got a purpose for you. I don't care if you're 2. I don't care if you're 102. God's got a purpose for you. But if you don't reach out now to get a hold of that, bless God, when will you? When will I? If we don't get a burden for this, when? Possibly never. There's a great and terrible day coming. I'm not going to get in all the prophecy things to try to scare you. I'm not going to get into all that. I'm just going to stay with the Word. And the Bible says, behold, I come quickly. I come as a thief in the night. If the man would have knew when that rascal was going to come to his house, he'd have prepared for it, and his house would have never been broken into. And some of us sit in our Pentecostal pews, and I've been guilty. I've been guilty of thinking I have eternal security. And then God has to smite me down, brother, with a word and show me, hey, this race is not over with. This race is not over with. Some of you have had the Holy Ghost for 50 or more years. I am so grateful for you. Had it not been for the elders of the church keeping and passing down the torch, I may not never know about this. I am so thankful for that. But it took guts from them to do this. It took courage for them to do this. And it took a burden in their heart. If I can't reach the next generation now, bless God, who will and when? Who will and when? lift our hands. Come, Lord. God, I want that burden to fall upon me so heavy. God, I want that burden to fall upon my neighbor so heavy. It was at the day of the Red Sea. The waters were crossed. People were scared to cross through the waters. But they knew if we didn't go through it now, we may not never go through it. They knew if not now, when will we have this chance again? They knew that they would possibly never have the chance again, because the Egyptians, some would break off in their chariots and run them down and trump them. But I'm telling you, if you have the name of the Lord upon your heart from water baptism, if you've come to an altar, repented, and received the Spirit of God with the initial sign of speaking in tongues, my friend, and you're trying to live a holy life, you're repenting daily, you've got a promise for you. But if you don't, when? I used to say, people would talk to me in the church I grew up in to come. I used to tell them the same thing we get told. When I get ready, I'll be there. And the Lord showed me that was arrogance. That was a lie, and I was not only believing it, but I was being an oracle of that lie, orator. I was speaking that lie. I was telling that lie. My friend, the Bible says that no man cometh unto the Father except the Spirit draw him. And the Spirit is saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I thought a good night's sleep, I wasn't going to get all into this. But I thought a good night's rest, and up in the morning and pop a few pills and run out and get a case of beer and head to the sandy beach and ski and just get drunk all day. I thought I was having fun. I thought I was a real man. I thought I was doing everything manly because I was of age. Even when I was underage, I thought I was doing all that greatly. But the day that I proved myself a man before God was the day that I came to an altar and received the Holy Ghost. I told a boy in the jail, I was preaching in the jail, I told him, I said, you've proven to me that you can chase all kinds of wild women, prostitutes, everything else. You've proved to me you can snort more cocaine. You've proved to me you can smoke and sell more dope. You've proved to me you can beat up the strongest man, but there's one thing you have not proved to me, and that is you can live for God. If you think you're a strong person, it's time to live for God. If we think we're strong, we need to stand up and shout unto the Lord. Shout! If not now, when? Dance! If not now, when? Run! If not now, when? Pray. If not now, when? Baptize. If not now, when? Break. If not now, when? Revival. If not now, when? Salvation. If not now, when? Brother Betrayal took me to that church and we prayed, and I stammered, but I wouldn't press through. Got on that pipeline, got to riding in on that side boom, and got to laughing, because I just thought, I have not used the name of the Lord in vain one time. I've not told one filthy joke. I've not said one off-color or cuss word. And something spoke inside my heart, said, tonight you will receive what you need. And I went to that place and they baptized this hippie boy in the name of Jesus Christ. And it wasn't 5 minutes, I was speaking in another tongue. It wasn't 5 minutes. Hey, I didn't have to go to AA. I didn't have to go to NA. I went to GA. God Almighty, don't worry about what's bothering you. God will take care of you. If God be for you, who can be against you? But when will we be on the Lord's side?
If you're on the Lord's side, they said, come unto me. If you're on the Lord's side, find your way. If you're not on the Lord's side, there's an altar waiting. For the Bible says, if we have not the Spirit of the Lord, we're none of His. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, friend, by the Word of God, you don't belong to Him. But He's saying, I want you. I desire you. When the world will give you up, God says, I'll pick you up. When the world will throw you away, God says, I'll recycle you. When the world says, I won't forgive you, God says, I will. When the world says, you are not, and I use this term kind of not loosely, but just hear me out. When the world says you don't deserve to be saved, Christ shows His nail prints. He says, yes, you do. Yes, you do. When He was on the cross, I was on His mind. On Calvary's hill of sorrow, where sin's demands were paid, and rays of hope for tomorrow across our paths were laid. Today, no condemnation abides to turn away my soul from His salvation. He's in my heart. And this whispers, you sin. No use to pray. I look away to Jesus. And He tells me to say, I see a crimson stream of blood. Sin is an infection in the life of what God has created. And the only antibody that's going to take a hold of this is the blood of Jesus Christ. The only thing that will revive our soul and save our families is the blood of Jesus Christ. Don't tell me this modern day puke that the blood is unnecessary. The blood is too gross to talk about. Had it not been for the blood, where would I be? Had it not been for the blood, where will you be? And the blood donor is here today. He's wanting to supply your need. He's wanting to save your soul. But if not now, when? One way to God. One way to God. One way to God. Baptized in Jesus' name. I've totally left what little notes I've got. There's a heart here that needs to be ministered to. There's some hurts in this place that needs to be talked to. It needs the stripes of Jesus Christ to lay on. Oh, I wish we could scream and carry on. There's nothing I like better. There's nothing sometimes that some young ministers feel more complimented. But if one person will receive the Holy Ghost today that needs it and break through to their need and break through to the throne of God, not stop at the veil, but go right on through it, that's all that matters to me today. Brother Davis, thank you. You know why he didn't drop it? Because, son, he was saying, if not now, when and who will pass that to you? If not now, when and who will pass it to you and to you and to you and to me? But thank God that when it came down, I was willing to take it up. Thank God when it came, I gave him my robe of red and he gave me one white. That burns and makes things white. I want you to have it. There's nothing more great in a man's life than saying, now, Lord. Now. There's just a few things that are settled in this world that there's nobody can get through without experiencing, and that's death and the resurrection and judgment. Hey, you that's had the Holy Ghost, how do you really feel in your heart? A minister once said he prayed and he said, God, show me my heart. And he said the Lord showed him his heart and he screamed, God, take me from this place. I've heard of preachers preaching hell so hot that they say you could smell the sulfur. But let me tell you, along with that heat, there's love. But God, if it takes us feeling the heat to find your love, do it! Because I've got to be saved. I've got to be saved. The Lord is coming. Hear, all you that's within the hearing of my words. Behold, the kingdom of God is at hand. Oh, well, it's been said for 2,000 years. Why should I believe it now? Well, if you're going to think in that frame of mind, and it's been said for 2,000 years, then you're 2,000 years closer to it coming. Can you imagine just walking and all of a sudden, poof, in the glory of God? Can you imagine that? A walking and poof, in the judgment of God. If not now, when? Lord, you know I need a brand new touch. My strength from yesterday is gone. But if you give me, Lord, another touch, I'll have the strength to carry on. Can we stand? Lord, you know I need a brand new touch. My strength from yesterday is gone. But if you give me, Lord, another touch, I'll have the strength to carry on. If not now, when? Hey, Agrippa, I don't ever read in the Word of God again of Paul coming to you and you finding salvation. And you hear me today. We don't know if we have lunchtime. We don't know when we have. And I don't want the words of this preacher to be the last words and eternal words you hear echoing through your mind when you're in hell. Saying, why wouldn't you repent? Why wouldn't you come to an altar? If not now, when? Not now. Can we lift our hands? I've not been long, but I've been on target. I'll have the strength to carry on. Yesterday has come and gone, and now a new day's coming on. I do not know what it may bring. My heart may cry instead of sing. It matters not what comes my way. If you'll just touch me new each day, your love and touch drives all my fears away. Close by your side I want to stay. Would you come to the altars and pray? Lord, you know I need a brand new touch. My strength from yesterday is gone. If you give me, Lord, another touch, I'll have the strength to carry on. I thought the sign had came to stay, but all too soon it went away. And in its place the storm clouds came, and with the clouds there came the rain. It rained so hard and oh so long, but amidst the storm I felt a calm. It was your touch that made me through it all. Without your help, I'd surely fall. Lord, you know I need. Come on, petition the throne. What is it that you need from God? Hey, mama. Hey, daddy. If not now, when?
I'll have a strength to carry.
I'm going to pray for you today. I'm tired of these patty cake prayers. I've got to touch the throne of God. Desperation. Desperation. There's going to be desperation at the throne room of judgment. But we'll have desperation now. Come on, I need you, Lord. If not now, when? If not now, when? If not now, when? When will you come to the Lord? If not now, when? When? Will I get my life ready when I feel like it? No, you won't. No, you won't. And you won't go to judgment when you feel like it. You'll go when the Lord calls you. When? Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Or depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I need you, Lord. I need you.
I need thee. Lord,
hey, kids. Hey, young people, if not now, when? When? Oh, yes. We need to send a clear message to the deepest pits of hell. We're coming in, and we're not staying, but we're coming in, and we're taking some back. We're taking it out. But if we don't do it, nobody else will.
Lord, every hour.
church, we need to pray.
I need thee.
Brother Williams may take us to the highest plateau of glory tonight. When will we break? I'm going to break now. I'm going to pray now. I'm going to give you my heart now. God, you see the secret things that I do when I'm not in church. You see the secret things I do at home alone. You see the secret things I do out in the car alone. You see the secret things I do. Don't pass me.